First and goal at the 3. Williams the back. They turn and give to him. Look at room on the right. Cuts it back left. And he gets into the end zone. Touchdown, Darrell Williams. His second rushing touchdown of the game. And Kansas City goes on top by 10 with the point after pending.
And that was what you heard on our very airwaves, as it was Kansas City with the win over Washington last week. And Kansas City, of course, will be on our group of stations again this week because it'll be the Chiefs against the Titans. In fact, their pregame is already underway on News Talk. Feel free to join them around 12:30.
I hear the second half of their pregame so much better than the first half. No reason not to just wait on that.
But pregame coverage for Bengals-Ravens will start at 12:30 as we step aside in just a few minutes. But this is the final half hour of today's edition of the NFL Report. Pleased to have the panel made up here at Harrison's in Clinton by Will West and by Vince Ferrara. And so while we have the time, why don't we jump first to what will be the local listings. Titans and the Chiefs at 1 o'clock on CBS. Green Bay for the third straight week is going to be on Fox in the 1 o'clock game against Washington. And then the afternoon game, this is really interesting because it used to be just hard and fast. AFC was CBS, NFC was Fox, but now because sometimes the inventory is too loaded to one side, the CBS doubleheader game today is Chicago at Tampa. So an all NFC matchup on what is the traditionally AFC station. But there's a lot of fun. And then, of course, you have Vince with our coverage and what we have available. You can listen to NFL football Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, Monday night, and Thursday night right here on the Sports Animal.
It is awesome. And one of the things that's been cool about the season is that we've had a lot of those primetime games be very competitive. After the Thursday night game, 12 of the 19 NFL primetime games this season have finished a one-possession game.
Wow.
Those 12 games have been decided by now a grand total of 38 points, including 3 overtime games. And the overtime games were a couple of the 6-point margins of victory. A lot of really entertaining. Now, this past Thursday night, John, you know, not the highest level of football played.
No.
It ended up being a close game.
17-14 the final.
Yep.
Because a team from Colorado remembered to show up.
Because of Vic Fangio.
Just to make it close. Close has been great.
Right.
If this were horseshoes, we're talking Super Bowl number 4.
And that would fit with the Broncos, yeah.
Yes.
So, but there have been, Thursday excluded, a lot of those tight games have been really entertaining. So it's awesome that we've got the radio calls. I mean, Kevin Harlan and doing this prime, it's just so good. And just, you know, you always options, definitely on the AM. And then on Sundays, it's simulcast on the FM as well.
And, of course, we can go ahead and plug that when you, week to week, you make projections and picks for all the NFL games, but you do a great job of keeping tabs on all the VFLs in the NFL, those that started at Tennessee but perhaps finished their college careers elsewhere, and then those from the area that didn't go to Tennessee but are in the NFL.
Yeah, and it really hadn't been a whole lot of movement, so but we'll constantly keeping track on the transaction wire on a daily basis, so you can check that out in the blog section at 991thesportsanimal.com.
Yeah, big scary moment. Darryl Taylor, yeah. He was able to, after he was carted off the field, for Seattle against Pittsburgh, he was able to fly back with the team, but boy, he's been off to such a great start this year. Such a shame to see him now go on the shelf, but hopefully he'll be able to get back out there.
Yeah, 100%, and you know, you could just see how scared everyone was for him. He had a great game, and he was having an excellent season as well, really impacting the quarterback, that bend off the edge. And the other VFL move this week was Alexander Johnson from your Broncos.
Peck.
Out for the year. So going to IR. There's a lot of VFLs on the IR this year.
Is there one VFL line now in the league that you look at and say, you know, more Tennessee people should pay attention or you know, at least give a little credit to the job this guy's doing in the league and maybe not enough people are talking about him?
I think maybe Cam Sutton would fall in that category. I think he's done a real nice job. At first, it took him a while to sort of work his way into that lineup. He was a reserve, sometimes played the star, sometimes as the outside corner. But he's kind of settled in at corner now, and he's so versatile. I think he's done a really nice job, so he's probably one of the more underrated.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's been battling an injury that kept him out of the lineup. He didn't play against Denver a couple of weeks ago. And then you also have Marquez Callaway.
Yeah.
But, of course, then again, he's creating headlines with what he's doing, catching a Hail Mary and then a second touchdown with Jameis Winston throwing him the football. So it's been fun to see that be the case. Why don't we quickly run down and through the standings as well as the schedule for today's list of games. You have Buffalo at 4-2, two-game lead on the rest of the AFC East, Patriots 2-4, Jets 1-4, Dolphins 1-5. In the North, it is the Ravens getting ready to host the Bengals. Baltimore 5-1, Cincinnati 4-2, Cleveland with the win on Thursday, now 4-3, Pittsburgh back-to-back wins, now 500 at 3-3 after losing three straight. The Titans 4-2, alone atop the AFC South over Indianapolis 2-4, and then both the Texans and the Jaguars are 1-5 in the AFC West. Chargers and Raiders both 4-2, Chiefs are 3-3, and the Broncos very deserving of last place at 3-4. Dallas 5-1. A three-game lead on the rest of the NFC East. Something tells me, don't want to jinx anything, Cowboys fans, but I don't think this one, Will, is going to go down to the last game, last day of the regular season, as it traditionally is the case.
Yeah, I would say that this probably is going to be settled, yes.
Washington 2-4 in second place, as well as Philadelphia, also 2-4, and the Giants are 1-5. Packers atop the NFC North, 5-1. Vikings and Bears, both 3-3. Detroit, the lone winless team at 0-6. And then you have Tampa Bay, 5-1. The Saints, 3-2. The Panthers, 3-3. Falcons, 2-3. Cardinals, the last undefeated team, 6-0 on the season. One game in front of the Rams, 5-1. And that's head-to-head. I mean, it's the Cardinals who gave the Rams their only loss. And then you have the 49ers at 2-3 and Seattle at 2-4. So when you take a quick look, why don't we go ahead and do the exercise always enjoy doing, and that is the best and the worst. Why don't we start with those that are bringing up the rear? Vince Ferrara, who would be your bottom five teams in the NFL right now?
Well, I think we're starting to get a little bit of separation in this category. And there's same with the top five. There's like one team that I think there is competition there. One team gets left out. To me, because they've been banged up, but they've had fewer blowouts. The team on the outside looking in is your New York Giants. Now they're trending south big time, but I have them just on the outside looking in at 28th. The New York Jets, one less loss, but still a couple of blowouts. And not a very good roster. 29, I mean, you can throw these all in a hat. I mean, 29, Miami, 30, Jacksonville, 31, Houston, all 1-5. I mean, yeah, they each has beat the other. It doesn't matter in head-to-head when you're that bad. And then at 32, Detroit, because they're winless.
What it's like being the best dunker in kindergarten, right? like everyone's terrible.
So, with a Nerf
basketball.
I go with number 28. I got the New York Jets. I think they're capable of winning a game. And I think some other teams are not capable of winning games right now. I've got the Jags at 29. They did just win, although I probably think that there are other teams on this list that would beat them head-to-head. 30 is the New York Giants. Woof, that's terrible. And on top of that, they're injured. 31, the Houston Texans. 32, the Lions. If the Lions played the Texans, the Giants, the Jags today, I think they beat all three of those teams. But you're 0
right.
for a reason.
Yeah, right. At this point in time, you've earned the distinction because you don't have a win. But I have the Dolphins 28, Jets 29, Giants 30, Houston 31, Detroit 32. Will, we'll let you lead off the best of the best. Who are your top five teams, which is a much more difficult conversation.
Much more difficult. This is a very difficult conversation. I have at number five the Green Bay Packers. I think it's going to be a very typical Packers season where Rodgers is just going to throw up stupid numbers. They're going to get to like the NFC Championship game and get beat, and that's what's going to happen, or the divisional round. But the Packers are number five for me. I have the Rams at four. As long as that defense stays healthy, they are going to be a threat in the NFC. The Bucks at three, the Ravens two, the Cardinals one.
Vince?
Well, I agree with you. This was tough. And then when you start to break down some numbers, strength of schedule, wins, things like that, there's really not a big separation with a lot of these teams. I actually have Dallas on the outside looking in. Now, I think it's super close, but I have Dallas at six. Maybe a little bit more trust in the Rams, a little bit more balance, and their defense is still a touch better at four. The Green Bay Packers, three, I have Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay, they're kind of playing down to their competition at times, but I think still that roster, the quarterback, everything else. At two, Baltimore, just in terms of wins and how they're playing. And then at one, Arizona. I'm not going to pick against them. I don't – at this point in the season, when you're undefeated, I'm playing the numbers. I'm picking the undefeated team. I'm not picking the winless teams. So I think Arizona proved it by beating Cleveland last week in convincing fashion.
Like
no Chandler Jones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I've got Dallas 5. I've got Green Bay 4. And this is no slight to those one-loss teams that I have on the outside looking in. But Dallas 5, Green Bay 4, Baltimore 3. I have the Rams 2 and Arizona 1. And I do think that Tampa is right there in the mix. I think that there are several other teams you can point to because there are just so many, even a couple of two-loss teams that you would say, boy, you just don't want to catch them either at their place or if you happen to have a bad day. So I think this is going to be fun to watch because there is such competition, so many. And this is one of the things where I still think it's the most ridiculous thing that baseball's got five teams that make the playoffs. That it should be that, but I like seven teams now in the NFL because you get seven teams in. Only the number one seed gets the bye or the open date. No, it is a bye because it's the playoffs.
Yes.
So anyhow, it is going to be something because there's still a lot of room for all kinds of jockeying for position.
And John, obviously you can change a lot, but I'd love to look at what the matchups would be if the playoffs were to start today.
Oh yeah, yeah, nice.
Really cool. Right now in the NFC, obviously Arizona would be the one team with the bye as the one seed. It would be 7-seed Minnesota at 2-seed Tampa Bay, 6-seed New Orleans at 3-seed Dallas, 5-seed L.A. Rams at 4-seed Green Bay.
Gracious, the middle of that pack, right?
I mean, sign me up.
Absolutely.
I mean, just inject that in me. In the AFC, Baltimore, the 1-seed with the bye. 7-seed Cleveland at 2-seed L.A. Chargers. 6-seed Las Vegas at 3-seed Tennessee. 5-seed Cincinnati at 4-seed Buffalo.
Ooh.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Man, that'd be cool.
I just think Buffalo was right there riding the wave of – had not lost since the opening week when they, again, saw the Steelers rally in the second half. But it's quickly changes that you would not only be out of what would be no worse than the 2-seed in your conference, but now you would be the 4.
And notice the team I did not mention in the AFC?
Kansas City.
Yep. They're the 9 right now.
How about that? We can all hope. As far as Cleveland, they've already played and they've already won. Case Keenum did a nice job. In fact, you could tell there was a little extra mustard in it for him because that was a team that he joined, played the quarterback for a season. I thought played as hard as he possibly could for them.
Yeah.
But I think he also was one with Kevin Stefanski, who he played for in Minnesota. I think it's a really great backup choice. He's in place now. Don't know how Baker Mayfield is going to be able to come back from what is the torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder. He also has a couple of other ailments.
Yeah, he's got a bone chip in the shoulder as well.
Oh, are the Browns done without Baker?
I think they are. I do. I think that they are. And a lot of it, look, and I always thought this Browns team was going to underachieve because there's only so many knuckleheads you can throw in one locker room before everything starts to regress, right? And Baker, God love him, he's grown up a ton, but he's still a knucklehead. Odell is never going to live up to his potential because he's a knucklehead. It does seem like Myles Garrett's grown up a little bit, and that helps. But still, that's a whole lot of knucklehead in one locker room, and that's a little problematic. But I do think they have to have a quarterback. Look, what they do and why Baker's good now under Stefanski and he wasn't before is they're not trying to make him throw the ball 35 times a game and win with Baker's arm and make him the franchise quarterback, $40 million a year guy. They run the football, he runs play action, and you limit what you ask him to do. And I think that was a really nice recipe for success. I just think especially in that division, I just don't know how this works. And also it's not like – so if he missed this week and he's going to miss next week, it looks like, and then the expectation is, from what I've read at Cleveland.com, that he comes back and tries to play the rest of the season, then has surgery and is out for 6 months. Ooh. That seems hardcore, plus there's a contract situation sitting out there as well with Baker. I just got a feeling that that's not the group that can deal with this type of with these types of troubles and handle them with cool heads. I'll just say that.
What do you think, Vince?
I wonder if not having Baker there makes them just a little more flatline and maybe not have the peaks and valleys. So, I mean, they threw it 33 times at Case Keenum. Didn't have a bunch of yards, but Dearness Johnson was the difference there. I mean, coming out of nowhere with their two of their backs being out, two tackles being out. I mean, I think the injuries, the wide receivers, I think the injuries, that's a bigger thing for them because it goes beyond the quarterback position. You know, they have their schedule is up and down. Bizarre. They have the Ravens bye week and the Ravens. I just noticed that. That is wild. So the Lions are there, but it's not the easiest of schedules. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, and I think they're a playoff contender even without Baker Mayfield.
I thought they were going to be the AFC North champs. I think that they have to have Mayfield to do it. Is the bigger absence Mayfield, Nick Chubb, or Kareem Hunt?
Nick Chubb.
I think it's Mayfield because I think that Nick, if you can have one of Nick Chubb, and you know what I mean? Like, if you have one of those two backs, you'll be at least okay at that position. But I just wonder long-term, can you be okay at the quarterback position without Baker?
Well, as Vince mentioned, Dearness Johnson, unbelievable. Yeah. 146 yards and a touchdown in place of Chubb. Kareem Hunt, Chubb is thought to be back sooner than Hunt, who is likely going to be on the shelf for a good bit. So it will be something to see exactly how they move forward. The fact that they do get a little extra time, maybe this is what they need to get a little healthier before we get to week eight.
Can I ask you, are you signing Baker to a long-term contract?
I think I would try to give myself leeway. I would move in that direction, but I would also look for what can be attractive, and that is each side has options to opt out. Because I think that he's done good things, and I agree with you. I think he has grown up. I think he realizes what his strengths are. I think he's got a good feel for how the league operates and how the league approaches him. So I just think that he's doing well. And so if I were Cleveland, I would try and lock him up, but I would also give myself opt-outs as well as him, because I think you'd have to have that on the player side.
I would not, unless, sort of what you're alluding to, unless you can get him on the cheap, basically. And I don't think he's that interested in doing that. But that would be the only way. Him cheap, better than starting all over again for right now. But I think he's...
Did you not hear us say Case?
What's cheap to you, though? It's like the Ryan Tannehill contract in Tennessee where it's $30 million a year. Are you giving him that?
No. Nothing close to me. I just think from longevity, because I think it's beyond just the maturity. The maturity has come a long way. I still think he has limitations, and his decision-making in key moments still is questionable. I don't think he is the athlete that you need to win at today. And if you're not that athlete, you have to make up for it with the mental and the decision-making. And I don't think he does that high enough to compensate for not having the physical skill sets. So I would not put in big money and invest in Baker Mayfield.
Can see that. 6 weeks in, the Cardinals remain perfect. They're after their 37-14 win at Cleveland, Kyler Murray is leading the offense like an MVP. J.J. Watt, love what he had to say, lashing out at some haters on the internet. He says he's tired of all the excuses. He said, maybe we're just bleeping better.
Nice.
And I think they have a chip on their shoulder. Today, they play host to the Houston Texans, and it'll be a reunion because all of the Texans' greatest players are now signing in uniform for the Cardinals, so it should be fun. Does Arizona have any trouble making it to 7-0?
Does J.J. Watt trade jerseys with anyone on the Houston Texans? Probably not.
Great question.
No, I don't give the Texans much of a shot today. No Chandler Jones for Arizona, but, man, they've showed their depth. We get to see Zach Ertz for the first time in an Arizona uniform. And just, you know, they continue to add to the weapons there. No, I think this is another runaway for Arizona.
Detroit looking for that first win. The Lions get the Rams. It should be a whole lot of fun as you have former quarterbacks squaring off against their former teams.
They won't be trading jerseys.
No, they won't be. But what do you think in terms of Stafford and Goff and any shot that you give Detroit to get this win?
Like, somebody needs to go read last rites to the Lions before this game. Like, Stafford's going to be just out for blood for all the years he's had to stay there. And if you watch those games on Sunday Ticket, he hated all of his teammates. Like, he just literally despised them. And so would scream and yell at them the way that people scream and yell at a petulant child. So I think they're going to get killed today. I don't think the Lions have any chance whatsoever in this one. But maybe the next week, you got the Eagles.
Yeah.
Maybe the next week, but I just don't think this is the week.
Yeah. I was going to point that out. The Eagles would be their best shot.
Yeah, Don Henley's banged up, I think. So we had the week start with Cleveland beating Denver 17-14. Here are your 1 o'clock starts today. Green Bay home to Washington. Kansas City at Tennessee. It's Miami home to Atlanta. The Jets are in New England. It's the Giants entertaining Carolina. Cincinnati is at Baltimore. That game you'll hear right here at 4:05. Two games get underway. The Raiders host Philadelphia. Detroit is in Los Angeles to take on the Rams. 4:25, Houston at Arizona, and the second half of the doubleheader, Bears at Tampa. Tonight, it's Indianapolis at San Francisco. Tomorrow night, it is the Saints and the Seahawks and the return of Peyton and Eli.
Yes.
Thankfully. Yes.
How over under on number of mentions Eli makes for Ole Miss beating Tennessee and anything related to that game?
Probably 78. Probably the number I put it at, and a half.
I'm surprised when he got interviewed when he was recognized yesterday and his number was put up there in Oxford that he didn't mention it. I'm so glad that Ole Miss defeated Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah. Not great. Although somebody could bring up the Giants to him, and he doesn't want that to happen. So
that's true.
Whistle past the graveyard on that one a little
yeah.
bit.
I'd go 5.5.
Do you guys have trouble watching the regular Monday night broadcast now without the Manning cast? I'm not a big fan of that booth.
Bias against Brian Griese.
Yeah, yeah, that's my issue. That's my issue as well. I don't have the bias that you have. I'm just not a huge fan. Yeah,
I just hear him say things. And it's like, yeah, I heard you say that before. Jackleg. But anyhow, Buffalo, Dallas, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, the Chargers, and Jacksonville all have the weekend off. As far as just a quick look, we mentioned that Cincinnati and Baltimore. Well, first we'll do the Titans and Kansas City as time getting away from us. 51st meeting between the two franchises. Chiefs lead the all-time series 27 wins to 23. Titans have won the last three in the regular season, including 35-32 in Nashville 2 years ago. Andy Reid, 2-8 against the Titans.
Wow.
Who would have thunk? Mike Vrabel, 1-1 against Kansas City. Titans are favored by 4. You also have Cincinnati at Baltimore, 5-1 Ravens, 4-2 Bengals, 51st meeting between those two franchises. Ravens lead the all-time series, same score, 27-23. Baltimore's won the past 5. Last meeting was 38-3 in the final game of the regular season last year. Zach Taylor, 0-4 against the Ravens. John Harbaugh, 14-12 against Cincinnati. And, I mean, it's funny because you forget that Marvin Lewis had them in position to win a playoff game, which they never did, but I was a little bit surprised that in 26 games, it's only 2 games above 500 against Cincinnati for John Harbaugh. But Baltimore favored by 6.5. How do you see this one? We know what Bad Take likes. He likes Cincinnati to win.
I like Cincinnati in the points, but Baltimore to win a close game. I think this one will come down to the wire. Look, I'm not going to be shocked for Cincinnati. I thought they would be in contention for a wild card in the AFC. I think they're that talented, but I don't think they're quite there at that level yet.
I agree with you. I think the Cincinnati covers. I think that Cincinnati absolutely covers in this one. 6.5 is what they're throwing out there. I do think that the Ravens are going to win this football game, though.
Tonight, you can hear the pregame starting at 7:30, so you can listen to the nation from 6 to 7. Then the pregame starts 7:30 for Indianapolis at San Francisco. Colts 2-4, 49ers 2-3. It is the 45th meeting between the two because they used to both be NFL franchises. The Colts lead the all-time series 26-18. Indianapolis has won the last 4. Last meeting was in Indy in October of 2017. Went overtime before winning 26-23. First meeting for Frank Reich as a head coach against the 49ers. Kyle Shanahan 0-1 against the Colts. San Francisco favored by 4. I like the Colts in this one.
I like the Colts as well here. Somebody's going to panic, right, at the end of this game, and I'm really a big fan of games like that where I know somebody's fan base is going to lose their mind. Someone's fan base is going to lose their mind here. I agree with you. I think the Colts are on the come, and I think that they're going to beat the Niners tonight.
Vince?
Yeah, it makes a great case for it, but I'm still going to go with San Francisco. I think they will find a way to run the football some. Indianapolis still a little banged up. No T.Y. Hilton in this game also.
All right, quickly, since we have run out of time, what did you get today off the menu?
The Kickin' Chicken. Oh, cheat day on that. Sunday, and I'm excited to enjoy some fried chicken and mashed potatoes.
Vince?
Southern fried chicken, tenders, mashed potatoes, fries, delicious.
I went with their cheeseburger and fries. It's simple, but they do it so well. And Andy had a fantastic chicken salad.
Had plural.
Yes.
Or past tense.
Past tense.
Yeah, sorry.
But, hey, Will, great to have you join us. Enjoy your Sunday.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Vince Ferrara, thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks to Andy. Thanks to Sam. Get us out of here, Willie.